No, it was just a few days ago that we celebrated what our country calls Thanksgiving. And among the parades and the football games and everything else, even the non-religious people stopped for a little while to say thanks to God. But is the Lord pleased with that? Is saying thanks once or twice a year, is giving a nod to Him at certain days enough? In Luke 18, verse 9 through 14, we find Jesus telling a parable. And He says this, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" You see, Jesus is giving a warning here about just saying thanks. Now, Luke calls it a parable, and he says it was addressed to those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. And one of the characters in this parable is a Pharisee. The Pharisee was, of course, the keeper of rules. He was respected. He was the pillar of the community. And he was thankful. I mean, his attitude was, "I thank you that I'm different from everybody else." Well, at least he was thankful for something. "You wouldn't believe how they act," he says. "They extort people. They're unjust in their behavior. More than a few have committed adultery, but you, Lord, know me. We've been friends a long time. I fast twice a week, and you only commanded once a year. I give tithes of everything in my life, even those little tiny spice seeds. I thank you, Father, for making me, me." And then Jesus made a strange response. He said that prayer of thanks wasn't enough. Jesus said that words didn't matter, that the whole thing was a farce to him. Thanks, but no thanks. So what was wrong? Was something lost in translation there? After all, he did pray. He was in the temple. He was correct in his evaluation of others. They were extortioners. They were unjust. They couldn't be trusted. He, on the other hand, was always faithful, at least in his own mind. He didn't lie, he didn't fast, or he didn't cheat, he fasted, he tithed. If we were checking references, he got nothing but A's. So what was wrong? When is giving thanks not enough? Well, the first clue is at the beginning of the parable, when it says that the parable was addressed to some who were confident of their own righteousness. You see, thanks is not enough when the basis of our trust is ourselves. The Pharisee had blurred eyesight, we'd say. I mean, look at what he said. I. If you watch the pronouns, you'll see where a person's heart is. His heart was full of himself. Luke tells us in Luke 6:45, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." You can tell what the Pharisee was thinking, what his attitude was, by what he said. Thanks is not enough when the focus is always on us, always on me, always on I. So where is our focus? Is it on the things that we do, or is it on the one who allows us to do those things? Is it on me, or is it on God? But that wasn't the only problem. Thanks is not enough when we're confident of our own righteousness. You see, when we think we got it all together, when we've got the answers to everything, When we say we can handle everything by ourselves, then saying thanks is not going to do a lot for us. I mean, the Pharisee had a lot going for him. He fasted, he tithed, he ought to count for something, we'd say, but Paul says in Romans 12, verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to each one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God." Jesus said we have to be even more righteous than the Pharisee. Now, there are two kinds of righteousness. There's claimed righteousness, and there's real righteousness. Not everyone who claims to be righteous is righteous. There are those who claim to be righteous, claim to be good, but they're some of the meanest people in the world. They've never forgotten a single thing anyone ever did to them. They say things like, "Remember back in 1954 when you did this or that?" Or, "Remember the last time that that happened? You did this?" But God doesn't remember sin we repented of. He forgives our sins. Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God doesn't remember those things. Some people look for sin in everything else, everything anybody does. They examine every motive behind everything that somebody does because they're so sure that they're right that everybody else must be wrong. They've forgotten that our righteousness is like filthy rags in God's eyes. Isaiah 64, verse 6, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." You see, the Pharisee could never relate to Jesus. He couldn't relate to the things that Jesus said, like in Luke 5:32, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He couldn't understand that. Or things like Paul saying in Romans 3, verse 22, "The righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are freely justified by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." The Pharisee couldn't understand that. What do you mean, everybody? It should just be the righteous. It should just be the ones who are doing right. It shouldn't be like that tax collector over there. "God, you ought to just love me. Let everybody else go." But you see, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. We all need forgiveness. We don't come to worship carrying our load of goodness to lay at his feet. We come to stand in silence and ponder the mystery of the grace of God through the sacrifice of Jesus. And then there's more. Luke said the parable was told to those who look down on others. You see, thanks is not enough when we cut ourselves off from our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' day, the pious Jew would often pray a prayer like this. He'd say, "Oh God, I thank thee that I'm not a dog, not a Gentile, or not a woman." I mean, that was the attitude of the Pharisees. "I'm on a plane above everybody else. God surely loves me. I deserve it more than anybody else. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm a cut above." That's why they made their tassels long. That's why they love the chief seats. That's why they love to be called rabbi. All the things they did was because they thought they were better than everyone else. There was one Sunday, a Sunday school teacher was teaching her class, and she was telling the story about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And she was telling that the Pharisee was not pleasing to God. He was an old self-centered person. He was not doing right. And that the tax collector was a good person. He was looking for God's forgiveness. And when the story was done, the teacher said, "Now, class, let's pray and thank God that we're not like that old mean Pharisee." They missed the point. It's easy to miss the point. Religion that isolates us from our brothers and sisters is a terrible thing. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." You see, if you sit in a pew and act like everything is okay between you and somebody else when it's not, your gifts don't count. Your worship is useless. You might say, "But I just gave a large gift to feed the hungry." Jesus said, "I don't care." But there were times when I felt bad because I was fasting. I was trying to do right. Jesus said, "Doesn't matter. Nothing counts except going and being reconciled as best you can." Now, it may not be possible, but at least you need to do what you can. That's what counts, Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." You see, the scriptures tell us if you can't love your brother who you have seen, how can you love God whom you haven't seen? And then there was that other man in the parable, the tax collector. Verse 13 describes him this way. It says he stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He's beating his chest, not proud of his accomplishments, chest beating, but breast beating. It was what they did when they were sorrowful, when they were in great pain, when they realized that things were not right in their life, that they were repenting. He probably even heard the Pharisee speaking. He was standing off, but, you know, in the temple, sound tends to echo. And so he probably heard the Pharisee saying how great he was and that he wasn't like that old tax collector over there. And he realized what people thought about him. And he said, "God, I'm a sinner. I understand that." He whispered his confession and his need to our understanding Father. That's what counts, Jesus said. That's when thanks is enough, when we recognize who He is and who we are. When we recognize that He's the one that gives forgiveness, that He's the one we need to depend on, that all we have is from Him, that's when saying thanks is enough. You know, sometimes we sing a song, number 737. The words go like this. "Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Let us all with one accord praises give to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise Him all day long. Please reveal your will to me so I can serve you for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." When we have that attitude, then thanks will be enough. Have you accepted God's gift of salvation? Revelation 22, verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life." God offers the water of life, the blood of Jesus shed for our sins to give us the righteousness that we are seeking. You see, we can have the righteousness of Jesus as our own. It's not that we do everything right, it's that He did everything right. And when we become a Christian, God counts His righteousness for ours. Do you believe He was God's Son? Will you repent of your sins? Will you confess His name? Will you be immersed, baptized to wash away your sins? Acts 16, 16, Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 107, 1 and 2, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this." Are you among the redeemed of the Lord? Are you among those who have committed your life to Him, who have obeyed the gospel and become a Christian? We offer that invitation this morning as we stand together and sing our invitation song.